The following podcast is scheduled for one fall from the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau. This is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
It is a huge week in wrestling news. We're so glad that you could join us here on Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Pro Wrestling Unscripted, take two, on this August 30th, 2017. We're about to say goodbye to August, goodbye to my old birthday month, and hello, September. And as soon as it is over, we will let Billy Joe know. So.
Billy Joe Armstrong.
It's important that we mention that. Welcome to Pro Wrestling Unscripted. It's Mr. 100, Shannon Young, here with you tonight to walk you through this. Along with me, of course, is the five-star man, Asa Gray.
Yes, sir.
The Alley, not actually a bear bear.
Hello.
And joining us tonight, Dalton Anthony.
Yeah, Dalton Anthony.
You're looking good, Dalton.
You look better than normal.
My name's Dalton.
And you sound good. Like
you sound better than you've ever sounded before.
Hashtag Dalton Anthony.
No, Dalton couldn't be here with us tonight. He had stuff he had to go do. So filling in for him is, I'd say, a good replacement. Brandon Barbwire.
Hashtag one true champ.
Brandon, we just did Facebook Live, unless you didn't see it.
Did we?
Then The old question is, did it actually happen if nobody saw it? Because I don't know if something happened. It's going to be fine. It's going to get posted. We did CCW Live for the first time. It was a great show, and I can't wait for you guys to see it if you didn't get to catch it live. That'll be on Cape Championship Wrestling's Facebook, hopefully. Hopefully.
I'd love to know what happened.
I would also love to know what happened because I definitely hit done and not delete. Because when you hit delete, it says, are you sure you want to delete? And it did not say that. So I'm positive. I'm positive in my own power. But let's get to the news. And let's start off. A lot of things we can start off with tonight.
Let's start off with the tease that we did during that Facebook Live video.
Okay, yeah.
Just to get that kind of out of the way. So if you weren't there and you weren't able to catch a replay for whatever reason, thanks Zuckerberg, our friend.
More like.
No.
Okay.
It's not uncensored yet. We'll then get there.
He will ruin anything you want to do.
Every Facebook Live video will be deleted. Our friend Kevin Hunsberger from My 1-2-3 Cents blog and podcast, Stride announcer, asked a really good question for Brandon in if there were to be a Stride versus CCW event, who would you want to face? And you actually surprised me because I thought this would be one that you'd have to take some time to think about. But you said even on the video, you knew exactly who it was going to be.
Yeah, I know who I pick. I mean, and we can, I can drop that now.
Yeah, this is where we're going to.
Technically, I don't know if it counts if I have to pick someone who doesn't also work at CCW or not.
I would,
I mean,
that's a hard one.
Because you already told us, but I mean, it's, I would say just, he's a big part of Stride.
He is.
So, I mean, I'm going to say it counts.
Okay.
Especially given the reasons you're going to share with us.
Right. I choose Billy Hills. And I choose Billy Hills because I've had one match with Billy. It was the first show.
The tournament finale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the first show. It was the main event. And I went into that injured and hurt and, selling the neck or whatever. And we had good chemistry. But given the guides that we were going by, there's a lot of untapped potential. I want to see what else we can do. I think we have a lot more to give to the audience, and that's who I choose.
Yeah, and that would be – because I missed that match.
You did. That was the first show you didn't get to go to.
That was the first show.
Myself, Allie, and Tanner.
And
Tanner.
We said it on the live video, but since bringing up Billy, get well soon.
Yeah. We'll talk about that during the CCW part later, but we were all real worried about Billy. Mm-hmm. I don't know how the reaction was. I don't know if you knew at the time backstage. Mm-mm. Like, I don't know if you sequester yourself.
I didn't find out until after the main event whenever I went to the back. And
you were like, where's Billy?
Well, no. Like, someone was like, we're going to the hospital. I'm like, why is everybody going to the hospital? They're like, oh, well, Billy went to the hospital. I'm like, what the hell happened to Billy? The match that we had, like, though, we told a great story, and there wasn't a lot of like big moves. It was mostly him like holding me and grinding me and working like my injured limbs. And I don't know, like you can just tell like whenever you have chemistry with somebody, like things just flow right and they feel good. And I don't know, I kind of want to explore what else we can do. So
yeah, definitely. So thank you for answering that. And again, guys, if you miss CCW Live, the very first episode, We'll be back next Wednesday at 7:30. That's a hard start time every week, like a legit TV show. And hopefully you can catch that replay because it was a fun show. We had a great time doing it.
I had a lot of fun.
Yep. Thank you guys for watching. You know who you are. Appreciate that. Now, we'll talk about CCW a little bit later, obviously, as well. Now, getting back to the main news of the week, it's hard to pick a starting point because the thing I want to talk about most is John Cena and Roman Reigns. But the thing I feel like we should talk about first, Asa, and you, I know you're thinking the same thing I'm thinking.
The biggest news from Raw?
No.
Oh.
What was the big news from Raw?
We'll get there then.
Oh, God. No, I was thinking Sexy Star.
That's the thing that I want to talk about the most.
Let's talk about that first. Let's start off with Sexy Star. So if you guys, if you caught, it was Triple Mania.
Yes.
Over the weekend, they played it live on Twitch. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get to see it because I obviously was at CCW. Mm-hmm. Our day started at, well, your day probably started earlier than mine because you and Dalton went with Jason to go pick up Ethan Carter III, mm-hmm. which is cool. While you were doing that, I was here with Brandon at Gaming Grounds and Jonathan Porterfield, Sin.
Hanging with the real stars.
Hanging with the real stars, Asa. Sorry. And then we went right over to CCW and started doing stuff for the show. So we didn't get to watch Triple Mania. I also didn't get to watch McGregor and Mayweather. I also don't care that I didn't get to see that. I saw what I wanted to see. But Sexy Star had a – was it a three-way match or a four-way match?
It was a fatal four-way.
Fatal four-way with Rosemary. Mm-hmm. Lady Shandi.
Yeah.
And I forget the other person. Hamada, I think it was.
I think it's, I'll try to pull it up, but because I'm totally blanking on it too.
But, so, Sexy Star, Brandon, I don't know how familiar you are with Sexy Star, but she.
Somewhat.
Does not have the best reputation as of late with regards to the way she works with AAA and stuff like that. And what happened on the show was so terrible from our point of view as fans slash backstage guys.
I mean, and really just anyone with any amount of respect for the wrestling business.
Because here's what happened. Asa, tell them what happened.
So during the match, Sexy Star and one of the other competitors kind of got physical. Like, went into
crazy,
a shoot.
Crazy Mary, right?
No.
Rosemary.
Well, and it wasn't even Rosemary that she...
I think it was Shandi, because Shandi is apparently good friends with Taya Valkyrie. Mm-hmm. And if you know, we've talked before about Sexy Star and Taya Valkyrie and how that's a big thing.
They stripped the title of her to just hand it to Sexy Star. Because
who decided to come back.
Like, look at everything that Hulk Hogan has been accused of doing, like with mm-hmm. between the backstage politics and stuff like that. And like Sexy Star pretty much has all of those same complaints against her.
Right.
Except now she did something that not even Hogan ever did at his worst.
Right.
So she, in the match, was being extra stiff with the other competitors and just no selling any of the other offense. Like and then she would just go to the outside and just stand there, and in the middle of the match to let them do, to let them work. So then the end of the match comes after she gets into a legit fight, like in the middle of the ring with someone. Again, not Rosemary. Like Rosemary kind of seems to be the person that she didn't necessarily
no beef.
Like I mean, no or with. You know, a lesser amount. Like she wasn't the focus of her aggression. After the match, the finish of the match is Sexy Star puts her in a legit arm breaker, and you can see her just wrenching and torquing her shoulder. She taps Rosemary taps immediately. The referee tries to get off of her, gets her off briefly, and then she just locks it back in and yanks even more.
Mm, yeah.
Injured her shoulder, injured her, she pulled a muscle, I believe is what she said. It's not as bad as it's been reported, and she doesn't expect to miss much time, but just the fact that she would take that liberty with someone.
Or try to hurt somebody. I don't know,
And we wanted to get your point of view on this, because obviously
we're
fans and we're pissed off. So we can't imagine what a guy that actually wrestles in that ring, because it's been said over and over again, and I've got a list of reactions from wrestling stars that have said it, and you can find it on Google. I don't have to read these to you, but a lot of people are pissed off.
But people from Cody Rhodes to Joey Ryan to
Road Dogg. Are flat out saying she's done in this business. She'll never come anywhere near my ring. Mm-hmm. As a wrestler, as a worker, when you put your body on the line in the ring with other people and someone takes liberties and hurts you for real on purpose, how does that go, man?
Dude, it's awful. Like you shouldn't have to deal with it in the business, honestly. Like your number one priority should be making sure that everything is safe and okay and you're taking care of the guy you're working with. I mean, that's just part of the profession and what we're doing. The last thing anybody should want is to legit hurt somebody. And even if there's beef, I mean, there's a certain amount of professionalism that is expected.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you set that aside.
Yeah, even people that hate each other have worked together and done it.
Yeah, you do your job. You do work, your job, yeah. You know? I mean, it's ridiculous. It's stupid. It's gross. I hate it. I've been in the ring with people that I didn't care for personally. I do business. I do work, and it's not about trying to hurt anybody. That's stupid. Now, that being said, you find a lot of morons on the indie circuit that are taking any opportunities they can to try and hurt somebody because they think they're going to teach somebody a lesson. But
I was going
to
ask you, have you ever run across this in your business, in your wrestling specifically?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I think the thing is, I think the thing is, you just don't see it as often from like the more known workers. You know what I mean? And a lot of that is because they got there because they weren't doing shit like that. They were doing things right, you know, and nobody had issue. I mean, if that's stuff that you were doing, nobody's going to want to mess with you.
If you get a reputation of taking liberties with someone, you're going to not, people aren't going to want to bring you in.
I mean, exactly. Like, why should you risk the health of anyone on your card or anyone that you're working with because you want to hire an asshole?
Right.
Doesn't make any sense.
One of the things that that came from this that is just perfect is, I think it's Wrestle Circus that puts on their Wrestlecade event every year. Sexy Star was part of the VIP package. She was supposed to do a meet and greet and then wrestle at that event. They have since pulled her and to make sure that people aren't losing out value for the ticket price that they paid, that may have paid to see her. They have a replacement. It's Rosemary.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I will say, like, and Rosemary handled this amazingly.
Classy.
Just very absolutely. Classy. Cause I do wonder, like, we're not going to go through like the whole thing of what everybody said. I do want to read what her replies were, which was, "Let me make this perfectly clear. If you take liberties with someone's body when they are giving it to you and trusting you to keep them safe, you are not tough. You are an asshole, and you don't belong in this business."
See, that's what I said. I said asshole.
You said
you
asshole.
Did. That's verbatim. "Sexy Star decided to do just that this weekend at Triple Mania, and while I have remained quiet on social media until I was more calm to address the situation, I have now been informed that she is telling people that it's a work, much like that she's doing with this whole Taya situation, the Taya Valkyrie situation. You are all now being informed that Sexy Star is a liar. She was a liar in the locker room when she was forced." Why is this?
Oh. They had it in a weird block.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Well, yeah. It's when they post, like, they type out full notes.
And then they just post pictures.
And then they post screenshots of it. It was forced in the locker room when she was forced to apologize and instead cooked up some BS excuse that she didn't know, and she is a liar now. You know, if you were twerking on someone's arm, you know an armbar is real and dangerous, is a real and dangerous hold. The only reason your face is not broken right now is because a little voice inside my head as I lay on the apron kept repeating, don't go to Mexican prison. Thanks. Thanks, demon. However, turning to positives, the outreach from the wrestling community has been incredible. I'm overwhelmed with how much love I feel right now from friends, fans, and people I have yet to meet in this amazing business. We are a family and we protect our own. If you violate that, you are not welcome here. I also want to thank the AAA locker room. Multiple people came up to me saying how sorry and disgusted they were. Thank you, Hamada and Shani, who also had to deal with BS from Star during that match. Thank you, Vampiro, for professionally trying to calm a volatile situation. Though, as you know, once the excuses start pouring out of Sexy Star's mouth, where'd it go? In lieu of an apology, it was over. Thank you for the amazing GFW locker room, both present that night and not. I have so much support from everyone, and talent, crew, and office have all reached out to show me that.
I feel like this situation, I mean, I'm not a wrestler. I've never wrestled, but, I mean, that just seems like that's it for her career, right? It should be.
See,
that should be it for her, right?
The problem is, like, I think outside of, I don't think she will work in America. Like, there cannot be many places that are going to be willing to book her.
That would
like,
touch her. Yeah.
Wrestle Circus has already said they're not going to bring her back. Like, places like Shimmer probably won't. She will probably more than likely continue to wrestle in AAA like nothing happened.
I mean,
that's what I'm afraid of.
In this particular case, she was on a hot streak and things were going really well for her. And I highly doubt that she's going to recover and go on to what she would have had she not done what she did.
And she shouldn't. Mm-hmm. Like, this is one of those cases where, Allie, she absolutely should be done, right? Like, you agree with us on this, I assume.
Yeah, but I also know the world and I know that she's still a name.
That's
like,
true.
The idea of all press is good press is a thing because
we'll talk about that later.
Like, you can argue it, but it's still a thing for a reason. It's still someone, people say it for a reason.
That's why I say never say never.
Yeah. You know. She's still a name. And some people aren't going to see that. They're going to see the name.
Which I get. I mean, that's the nature of the beast. It's business. But I feel like any promoter that wants to have a reputation that's not dirt should stay as far away from this.
She's going to have issues getting booked right now. I mean, for a while.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, that's the truth.
Can she recover from this?
I don't think. Not to the...
Is there anything she could do that could maybe quell the resistance?
I don't know because, I mean, it seems like she was making excuses, and any apology that she was to put out would just seem like it was forced at this point.
And someone on Twitter, I don't know if it was a wrestler, just like a random comment that I saw, but mentioned that a forced apology is not an apology.
Right.
And at this point, like, I don't think there's anything she can say that people are going to believe.
Well, it's because she didn't apologize for what she did. She started basically apologized. Excuses. Well, she apologized because she got caught.
Yeah.
She apologized because she got in trouble for it. She wasn't sorry for what she did. She was, because if she was sorry for what she did, she would have apologized on the spot.
She didn't know that she was. Someone. She didn't know that she was dislocating someone's tricep, legitimate armbar.
You never know what the future holds. I mean, she may have a big turnaround. She may proclaim she got saved or something. So, I mean, who knows?
It wouldn't be the first time. And I mean, Mexico. I don't know a lot about wrestling in Mexico, but from what I understand,
AAA is a pretty sketchy promotion right
now. A lot of
backdoor, between the stuff with the Taya Valkyrie situation and how, I mean, they're doing the best that they can with it with Johnny Mundo. But like the Lucha Underground stuff, them keeping people to contracts way longer than they were expected, when they split up the season, them actively pursuing trademarks for people leaving the company. So they can't use the gimmicks that they used on Lucha Underground or in AAA.
Outside of those
actual promotions. But now, not only that, but like, look at Pentagon Jr. Like, how many times, in Phoenix, like, how many times have they had to change their name because AAA has cut the trademark out from underneath them, even though it is names and properties that they have no right to.
Right.
Right.
And I'll be honest with the Sexy Star especially. I thought she retired from wrestling. I thought she was a boxer now.
She did briefly, and then,
went back.
One of those someone summed it up very nicely, saying that just because you're dating a boxer doesn't make you a boxer. So then she came back to.
But
wrestling.
I think she won her match. And here
that I don't remember at all.
Here's what I'm going
I
with
didn't
that
follow
is
her career.
You know, if she left wrestling for boxing, boxing especially is kind of notorious for the bad boy popularity. I mean, look at Mike Tyson. Here's a guy who went to jail for raping a woman, bit a guy's ear off when he came back. And was still like the top draw in boxing for however long. So no doubt that Sexy Star could probably transition into a boxing career and use that as a stepping stone into more success in boxing if she's good. I don't know if she's good or not.
Yeah.
But it's maddening because you want her career to be over. You want someone to say, no, shitty people can't get away with shitty things forever. You're done. And maybe set a lesson for everybody else.
Yeah, but why would she go and try to hurt people that are going to try and hurt her back? You know what I mean?
Well, maybe she thinks she's tough.
Yeah.
You know, maybe she thinks she's that tough.
And that's like in the Rosemary's comment, like, that doesn't make you tough. Like, no. Someone who's allowing you to be put into an armbar.
Right. You didn't put this girl down and put her in an armbar, like, legitimately. You're not Ronda Rousey. Mm-hmm. This woman laid there and said, okay, here's the spot we called. I'm going to trust you with this arm. And then when you try to break it, like, you don't deserve anything.
Yeah.
You deserve to be done with the business. Mm-hmm. We will continue to see what happens with Sexy Star. I'm sure it'll infuriate us, but we'll keep everybody updated as we always do. We're going to move on, though, to the other big thing. And this is the thing I wanted to talk about. Because this, and you know what? We said it before yesterday that maybe tonight would be Pro Wrestling Uncensored. I'm not going to. I'm going to take the high road. I'm not going to say the F word. I'm not going to get super pissed off. I'm going to keep it clean. But so many people posting about how amazing the promo was on Raw between John Cena and Roman Reigns. And it's not amazing. Like, I don't get it. Especially, Brandon, a guy like you, who's in this business. Did you see the promo first time?
I did. I saw the promo.
So I know other people who are in the business who thought it was amazing. And I respect their opinions to the end of time. Sarah, Billy, Heath Haddon, you know, those guys. We talked about it. We discussed it. And I laid my business out of why I thought it was terrible.
I didn't see why you thought it was terrible. I didn't read that. See, because I personally enjoyed it. So tell me.
Disclaimer, because you agreed, it was very entertaining.
Yes,
it was entertaining as hell to watch.
Wait, isn't that the point though? I'm confused.
Kind of.
But here's my problem with it is that this was a worked shoot promo. This is a promo where they came out and they argued. But here are two guys who don't have the kind of heat with each other. I'm going to use a lot of insider terms. I'm not trying to be a smark or whatever. This is just the way I can describe it the best. Here's two guys that didn't have a lot of heat against each other. They weren't notoriously like bad blood or anything. So when you get them out, the first thing they do, instead of doing a what seems like a basic promo saying, I'm better than you, I'm John Cena, you're Roman Reigns, they say you're the next John Cena, you're not, I'm right here. Instead, they go into fourth wall break, in which John Cena legitimately said fourth wall break, and they bring up things like John Cena's burying young talent, Roman Reigns can't cut a promo. Roman Reigns, literally, when he messed up a step, John Cena said, it's called a promo, kid, you got to learn how to do them if you're going to be the big dog. And I'm thinking, like, who is this for? Who is this tailored for? Because clearly this isn't tailored to the kids in the crowd. They don't know what the hell you're talking about.
No, but I can tell you who it's tailored for. Because, I mean, were you a fan of the CM Punk?
The pipe bomb.
Pipe bombs that he was doing and the heat that he was running with Triple H and that whole angle. I mean, did you enjoy that?
I did, but the only reason I think I enjoyed that as much was because I knew that CM Punk legitimately had beef with WWE. I know for a fact that Roman Reigns and John Cena, and this is the problem I have with it. Anyone that knows it's a work shoot knows that they don't have legitimate beef with each other. So this was just a manufactured fake pissing contest that went into all of these different insider terms that the fans, the kids are confused. The fans that know better know that this is fake. So they know that these guys like are just reading off a script. And if you're reading off a script and if this was scripted, then all this did was make Roman Reigns look like an idiot because he looked horrible compared to John Cena. And if that's scripted, then they specifically thought, boy, this is going to look great when Cena completely runs circles around Roman Reigns, the guy that we want to hang our hat on for the next 10 years.
I thought Reigns held his own fairly well, all things considered, in the exchange that they did. I mean, especially compared to, you know, what we're used to seeing from him. But, you know,
true. I will say that.
He absolutely cut the best promo he's cut. But Cena, that, and it, when, and if it would have ended there, that would have been fine.
Cena had to get the last word. And I agree, that shouldn't have been the way it went. I mean, they should have shut the hell up, frankly, a little bit sooner than they did. But whenever you think about, and I go back to the CM Punk pipe bombs and everything he was doing, granted, he had his own personal heat with the way things were going with the business and the way that things are ran there. But business is business. And that was scripted regardless. And it's really, at its core, no different. I mean, whenever he went on and he was going to leave the company with the title and then showed up right after again, I mean, people like the idea of that kind of suspension of belief of like, oh shit, is it, it's scripted, but it's, maybe it's not scripted. And they're trying to run with that again. And they haven't had it since CM Punk bailed.
And I disagree. They did it. They had it with Miz and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. But
and
yeah.
Better.
Yeah. Yeah. And better. And that was good. You're
because,
right.
Because some of the shots that they were taking there were very, like, to this day, I don't know if they actively hate each other.
But that's the thing is, like, you wondered. Yeah. You wondered, is this legit? Cause as far as Miz went, was basically saying, you love wrestling, well, quit this and go wrestle in the indies. Mm-hmm. Daniel Bryan was saying, you wrestle the soft WWE style. Those are both legitimate things, but also you can skew that into the wrestling world. With Reigns and Cena, with what they were throwing at each other, here's the payoff is that even if Roman Reigns beats John Cena, he's beating him in a worked match based on a real life issue. And at the end of the day, it's still the matter of the fact that John Cena is a better performer than Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns can't beat Cena. Even if he beats him in a match, it's not beating him on the mic. It's not beating him in the press. John Cena is going to look like $1 billion and Roman Reigns is going to look like a moron.
And I don't have nearly as big of a problem with the whole, like, insider stuff that they did as you did.
Right.
Like, I mean, I wasn't huge on it just because, like you said, it kind of felt manufactured.
It felt forced.
And for a way to them to really get hype behind the match, which it did a great job of. Like, people are chomping at the bit to see this
match.
That's
the thing. Like, I mean, if you're in the minority of people who think it didn't work, then I'm sorry, but it worked.
But I also agree with you in the sense that, like, Roman looked terrible. Like, and it's not his fault.
No, that's what it was scripted to be.
Because I feel like we talked about it the other day, like John Cena probably got bullet points and the ability to kind of go out and ad lib, and Roman Reigns was handed a script. And the problem is Roman Reigns was handed a script that the same script has been handed to Kevin Owens and AJ Styles and CM Punk and a bunch of other people because he's just making the same arguments that everyone who's feuded with Cena. Dean Ambrose cut pretty much the same promo last year leading up to No Mercy, but better. And so when Roman's only given like, okay, you're calling him a part-timer, you're calling him washed up, it's, you know, this, it's your place now. And then Cena gets to call him on that.
Yeah.
And if it was someone like The Rock or CM Punk or Dean Ambrose,
someone who could come up with intelligent retort,
who could fire back on the spot real quick
without needing the script.
And I think that's what they were hoping would happen. But Roman's not quite there yet, and it's not his fault because that's not his character.
Well,
what I would have loved to see, and what I'm hoping they do in the coming weeks, is they do another verbal sparring thing. Cena is running him down. He turns around, you know, plays to the crowd, and when he turns around, he just eats a spear. Roman doesn't say a word. Go back, because that's what worked with Roman, was the silent just...
Here's where it gets uncensored. I'm sorry. Hearing you say that, my thought, and let me try to process this as best I can, is that if Roman Reigns does that, if Roman Reigns beats him with the spear and puts him down and all that stuff, it doesn't fucking matter, because John Cena's not saying, I'm a better wrestler than you. I love nods and winks at the camera. I love them. I do them myself. I love to kind of hit that fourth wall, but not go past it. But when you have John Cena literally saying on Raw, you want me to turn heel? You're exposed. I've said it before that I like Jim Cornette when he talks about exposing business, but you're exposing the fucking business when you say things like, do you want me to turn heel? But then you want to turn around and have me believe that you're going to beat him in a wrestling match that you just told me is fucking fake? That's fucking stupid.
So angry.
I'm really angry about this because I don't get it. You can't have both sides of the coin. You can't tell me this is fake and you suck at being fake. And then the next part I go, but now let's have a wrestling match to decide who's better. You just told me it's fake. Why should I care?
This is a formula that's pretty much been proven to work. That's the thing. Punk did it and it worked and it got over huge. Like you said, Daniel Bryan and Miz did it and it got over and it worked and it huge. But the thing is, all of these guys can work on the spot and they can ad lib and they can roll with the punches. And like you said, Roman Reigns just isn't there yet. And who knows if he ever will be. I don't feel like
he needs to be now.
I don't feel like these angles and this particular angle is the problem. I feel like the problem with it is going to be the fact that Roman isn't going to be able to keep up with it. That's really the issue, in my opinion. I know you're not a fan of it in general at all, but I mean...
And I respect everyone's opinion. I'm not going to tell you that you're wrong. That's just my opinion, too. My question to you now is, what do you think Roman Reigns can do to come back from this? Because I think everyone would agree, even if you like the angle, I like to think everyone would agree that Roman looked poor compared to Cena. So what can Roman Reigns do? Is it just a victory at the next show? Does he need to have that oh holy shit moment where he comes out and cuts the best promo of his life, just tearing Cena down?
That's really what he needs. He doesn't need a victory. I mean, he retired the Undertaker. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
He gave him his second loss at Mania, and I mean, victories are not what he needs at this point. Everybody knows the company has built him as a contender, obviously. I mean, he's the big dog. You know what I mean? Everybody gets that.
Right.
It's the charisma. It's the character. It's the passion. You know what I mean? He needs to be more than a robot, more than just.
Do you watch Up, Up, Down, Down at all?
I do.
Xavier Woods' channel. So we see him. He's been on Up, Up, Down, Down a handful of times. The dude is charismatic as hell.
He's entertaining.
The problem is like, it's not him as a performer. It's the material that he's given.
Yeah.
And clearly I don't know what that environment is. I don't know if he's going to people and being like, hey, maybe this isn't working. Let me be me. If he was just him and just that cool, like calm, like Cena was, it's very clear, like trying to get him super riled up in that Rock kind of intense screaming match. And that's just not what Roman Reigns is. That's not who Roman Reigns is. And I feel like it's just, you can tell that he's being written for. And if he was able to respond on his own, or even, you know, like I said earlier, just, you know, not respond and just attack him.
Yeah, but like, I mean, he does need to be able to speak. You know what I mean? Like, that's important.
And
like,
he does, but
and it's true. What John Cena said, it's called a promo. You need to learn how to do them if you want to be a big dog.
Him stumbling and like trying to find a line, that's rough. And that's the worst time to kind of.
Cena's absolutely right, but he shouldn't. It's like Marge Simpson. He's right, but he shouldn't say it. You don't say it in front of the crowd because. Roman Reigns look like he's not on the same level.
I wonder if it's a matter of the pressure too, because like you said, he's anything that you see him outside of like right there on Raw, he's always a charismatic guy. I mean, he seems to have good charisma.
Yeah, he's laid back and cool.
He seems to be a good dude. You know what I mean? And like you said, you saw him on Xavier's show and that he seems very entertaining.
Anytime
there.
He does like interviews and stuff, he's pretty like.
I've been saying forever that I feel like Roman needs an overhaul. Like they need to stop what they're doing and they need to change things up. Because I know everybody wants to jump immediately to turn him heel. And I hate to jump on that bandwagon because I did the same thing with Cena, but that was just because I was so bored with what he was giving me.
Right.
I'm
just so burnt out, dude. The years of Super Cena.
Yeah, I'm just so tired of seeing it. Like, how many times can you feed me the same damn thing before we change up what's on the menu a little bit?
And once he started losing just a little bit consistently, even though it's the same character,
it helped.
How amazing.
It did help.
That, yeah. Like, the turnaround on him.
Right.
And, like, with Roman, though, like, the thing is I want him to turn heel, but I think it's because I think that we'll see, like, the character that he is and who he is now, I think just would translate better as a heel, mm-hmm. frankly. I mean, and even The Rock, like, The Rock got his huge success and he became the massive star that he did, and he organically sort of became a babyface because people loved him, even though he was a heel.
They wanted to cheer him.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Exactly. Like, and not to throw kudos in my direction, but I kind of feel the same way with CCW.
Very organic, the way that he came up as a bad guy. People started
to get a following. Exactly. Yeah. And so my babyface turn was, I mean, it was simple. I mean, I didn't take an effort at all. I just pretty much had to say, all right, I'm on your side now. And that was that.
Do you think there's a fear? Because a fear I have now is that basically once you draw the curtain back, hopefully people forget easily, because it could very much be a stigma on Roman Reigns now that, okay, yeah, we know these things about him that people don't like, but we don't mention them. But now you've mentioned them. So is that going to create more problems for Roman Reigns in the future that people are going to go, no, you're just a carbon copy of John Cena. I was told that.
If the problem's not resolved now, like, or soon, and if we don't get changes and he doesn't make the progress that he needs to make, then yeah, it's going to really hurt him. But, and go back to Rocky again, but if he can go from, you know, the Maya Villa to The Rock, mm-hmm. the way that The Rock did, and find his lynch, you know what I mean? The thing that really clicks for him. Yeah, he could be great. He has all the tools except for whatever character he's trying to do right now isn't working.
And you can tell that he's clearly being written for. Like, look at some of the terrible lines that he's had to deliver.
Stuff for Second
Edge. Tater Tots, like, and how many, like, little tweaks they've done with his character. Like, okay, well, now he's wisecracking. Okay, well, now he's not wisecracking. Now he's, you know, he's doing this. And it's just, man, just, at what point do you just kind of hand him the reign? Okay, that's,
yeah,
that's they don't like just, do that anymore though.
And that's but they let Cena do it, and that's one of the. And I think that's kind of
different. No, Cena's a god.
Oh no, yeah, and I completely agree. And like, Cena has proven that he should be able to do it, because when he does it amazingly. It's just like they're scared to take. They really want Roman to be the guy, but they're scared to really give him the real opportunity to do it.
But it's so baffling that they chose this path to me on Raw, when you could have just as easily done the same promo without the fourth wall breaks. Would it have garnered the same reaction to the internet smart fans? Maybe not. But the last I checked, Vince McMahon did not cater to the internet smart fans. So why suddenly does he go, okay, I'm going to do this for them? Because I guarantee you, 8-year-old Adam in the crowd is looking at his dad going, what are they talking about? I love Roman Reigns and John Cena. A shovel? Cena's burying young talent? What does that mean?
You have to keep in mind, though, like your opinion of that segment and of the fourth wall breaking, you're in the minority. Like, this is his way of catering to the smart fans, because they eat it up. Like, the majority of the reaction on the internet and, like, the subreddit is that was the promo of the year.
Yeah, but what I've
and
always
that
heard,
was the segment of the year.
But what I've always heard from WWE is that the internet and that the subreddits and that those fans are the minority. And that they don't care to them.
And this is their one. And this is their one thing that they did for them to keep them invested. Because,
but for Cena and Reigns,
if you're wanting these, like, you know, smart fans who are down on Cena, which is dumb because Cena has proven that he's one of the top performers ever. I'll say it.
And Reigns,
who is a lot better than people are willing to give him credit for.
Agreed.
And you're going to put them one on one. A lot of people are just going to be like, oh, we don't, no, that's going to be, it's the passing of the torch. Like, we know exactly what's going to happen. This is the WWE's way of, because the casual fan, they have their money. You say John Cena versus Roman Reigns on a card, the casual fan money is there. And, guaranteed.
And here's the thing too, like, you're worried and concerned about the confused kids. You know, they've marketed to that demographic just well. That's New Day.
Yeah.
For example, you know what I mean?
And I'm sure they tuned out during that segment.
Yeah. And that's fantastic because that's what the kids get to have and they get to eat that up. And this doesn't take away from the fact that this segment is not going to make any John Cena fan, any 8-year-old go, well, now that he's being confusing, I no longer like him. So, I mean, that's not really an issue. But when you look at your news feed, how many complaints are you seeing from the casual fan?
If complaints. How big of a reaction would they have gotten in Star Wars if Luke Skywalker talked to Darth Vader out of character during the movie and said, so I know we're going to fight pretty soon, but I don't think you're as good as I am with the acting thing. So maybe, you know, try to do a little better. And then they had their sword fight and then he died and you're supposed to have an emotional connection to that. Can you have it both ways?
In wrestling,
what
you
did I say?
You said sword fight.
It's a laser sword, whatever.
But in wrestling, you have to because everybody.
But why? It's because it's a performance, right?
Yeah, it's a performance, but it's a performance that is very well known as an entertainment thing. And once you've already broken that fourth wall in the past, it's not like it's all of a sudden unbroken. We already went down this road in the past. People are aware of the situation at this point.
But to mix it back and forth like this, to go, okay, suspend your belief for a second because this is real, and then never mind, go right back to believing that it's not. WCW did the same thing in their later days.
Do you like Joey Ryan's dick flip?
No.
No, he's very old school mentality when it comes to wrestling. Like it's,
and maybe that's on me. Like maybe it's literally I'm the only problem. But when I see something like this happen, I do get a little upset, and I always go like, when I grew up with wrestling, because you're not too much younger than me.
No.
We grew up around the same time period, and I grew up not necessarily believing that Hulk Hogan was Hulk Hogan, you know, that he was the good guy that he was. But I grew up knowing that that was the narrative they chose and that that was the story I believed in, just like when I go watch movies. But if you have a movie where halfway through the film, because I know that's fake too.
Did you like Deadpool?
No. Well, I did, but I hate the character for that reason. And Asa can.
Yeah, we've talked about that before.
So in general, you're just not a fan of anybody really breaking fourth wall.
I like nudges. I like when someone does something that winks at the audience and says, we know you know.
But to blatantly address it.
But to blatantly call it out and then in the same breath go, but also this.
See, I'm okay with it. And I feel like I have to be too. I mean, it's not really an option. Like the business is changing and evolving in such a way that this is not something that is exclusive to WWE. In fact, it's fairly new for WWE. It's been happening elsewhere for quite some time now.
Yes, it has.
And it's garnering great success. I mean, how hot has the indie scene been in the last, 5-10 years? I mean, indie wrestling was basically unheard of mm-hmm. prior to. If it's helping, if it's generating money for the business, a business that at one time people told me was dying, it wouldn't be around much longer. Dude, I'm all for it. Because this, I can't not have this. You know what I mean?
And that is my favorite part of the show, by the way, is when we can come on here and debate things like that and talk about our opinions and give explanations why we feel that way. So that may be my favorite segment we've done this year. So thank you.
Huzzah.
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 Let's move on, though. We can't, because we're at 40 minutes.
You've got to say it.
Say it.
Huzzah.
There you go.
Huzzah.
She did it.
There you go.
Okay. Is there anything else that needs to be discussed? We've got a couple random news pieces that we're going to talk about real quick, just real fast ones. Xavier Woods is on the shelf. Apparently, it's a sprained MCL. We saw the video. Mm-hmm. He landed wrong, hit the knee, immediately fell back.
Yeah, immediately dropped, clutched the knee. We don't have it. There's no time frame. He said it was sprained MCL. He's still going to Dragon Con this weekend.
Well, you ain't stopping him from going to Dragon Con.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
I missed it.
Brandon wants to know what a Dragon Con is.
No. Who are we
Xavier
talking
Woods.
About?
Xavier Woods.
Xavier, okay. Yeah.
Yes.
At a house
personal
show.
Personal friend. We played PS4 with him.
It's true. Yeah. He follows me on Twitter.
Son
I've made
of
it.
Bitch. I finally got Tazon today.
Oh, you finally got the Tazon
today?
Yeah,
he finally added me.
Hey,
yeah.
He followed me a while ago on Twitter.
Who, Tazon Day?
Yeah.
I was a late bloomer.
I don't know if he was just scrolling through all users or
I
what.
Couldn't figure out why the hell he would just get random at me. I'm like, I guess he's a wrestling fan.
I took a screenshot of the email, and it was one of my Facebook like featured photos because I was like, I don't get it.
But you know him, so
right.
Here you go.
Yeah, so we don't have
all
a time frame.
All he did was send me like a kiss that said chocolate rain. It was awesome.
More bad news on that. Samoa Joe also injured.
Yes, another. That's a knee injury. Only expected to be out about 4 weeks, which honestly, like, I think this kind of works in his favor as long as it's serious and he's not out super long, because this coming off of losing in that fatal four way, which was insane.
It was great. Fantastic.
Coming off of that, like, who knows where he was going to go. Apparently the rumor was he was supposed to wrestle John Cena. Instead they turned it into that tag match. Mm-hmm. But so if he's someone that they should be, he should have a story all the time.
Yeah.
And so hopefully this, you know, he didn't eat the pin in that Fatal 4-Way, did he?
No, I thought
it was Roman.
It was Roman.
It was Roman. Yeah. Okay, so yeah. So, I mean, him coming off of a loss, even though he wasn't necessarily involved, like, let the fans kind of cool off on him. And then now that he, well, not, that's the wrong phrasing, but like, let them kind of, let him move to the back of people's minds.
Let them forget that he lost.
In, have him come in impactfully with a big story.
Impact.
Of something. No.
No pun intended.
Never there. Never there again.
Talking about injuries, we also have to mention Asuka, because she injured herself during the match with Ember Moon, gave up her title on NXT.
And we talked about her broken collarbone last week, but right. At the NXT tapings, she relinquished her title. And the rumor is that the WWE.com story, because this is, it's a spoiler, but it's everywhere. Like, yeah. WWE.com
it's
did an interview
Facebook.
On it. Like,
I've seen people post it. So, yeah.
So, but apparently her reign is going to continue until the actual episode airs, which I don't know if that was tonight or not. We were doing the Facebook Live thing, so we didn't have a chance to watch NXT.
Were we? If there's no evidence,
I mean,
were we?
Facebook. But so, yeah, so she, her reign continues until she actually relinquishes the title to William Regal, and the WWE.com article mentioned that she has her eyes set on what's next, and so everyone's pretty much assuming that this is her going to the main roster.
Yeah. Because, gotcha. Well, I mean, William Regal on the show said that he was in negotiations with Kurt Angle and, Shane McMahon. Yeah. So definitely going to the main roster. And as much as I hate that, clearly they didn't know she was going to get hurt.
Right.
I wonder if this is because of she got hurt or if this was the plan all along, because I can see it go both ways. I can see them saying, you know what? You've beaten everybody. Let's move you up as the invincible warrior. But at the same time, I can see it as this is an opportunity.
I feel like if they did it, they would have debuted her first and then like Paige, who never got beat for the NXT Women's Championship, like then relinquish it after she has. I don't think it would have been this soon. I think she probably would have had like one or two matches, or Dalton's idea of it's the whoever wins the Mae Young Classic.
Right. Because otherwise I feel terrible for Ember Moon, because I really want her to win. And I feel like they haven't dropped the ball on it, but not like Sasha, but that was the other thing from Raw I wanted to mention, was how much I hate Sasha Banks losing the title after winning it, that she's never defended it successfully one time. Here you have someone who used to get "We Want Sasha" chants as loud as Goldberg and anything like that, and then you turned it into this. You've basically said she can't win. And that's the narrative they're going with, is that she can win the title, but she can't defend it.
She can't keep it.
She can't keep it, which is bad. Imagine if you had won the title in that tournament and then lost it the very next time.
That never would have happened.
And then you won it the next... do you not want to talk about the biggest story from Raw?
Oh, son of a bitch. Is it Emma's music?
Yeah, yeah. It is.
Yeah.
Listen here. Whoever's idea it was, no. Take it back. Hashtag give Emma her music back.
Yeah, that was just god-awful.
When they keep her entrance choreographed to her old theme, so she just does the weird, like...
the arm pose.
Which
and
she can
that.
Pose all she wants because she's, you know, I love her.
She's gorgeous. Huh. She's as gorgeous as EC3 almost.
Almost.
Don't make me choose.
But that music was just god-awful. It reminds me of like when they used to do Divas music in the 90s and the 2000s. Yeah. It's just that really generic. I think the lyrics are like, who's that girl?
Yeah, it is.
I know who that girl is.
I mean, I kind of, like, if it was sung differently, those lyrics could fit, because it's all about, you know, it's all about Emma. It's all about me. And so who is, it's me. That's.
But her music was so good.
It was. It fit her so well. It was that tie into her throwback that it starts with that same, the bubbly character thing. And then
it goes into just awesome. And the way she times it with it too. Yeah. So yeah, in CFO, they put out a twist. They said, this was not us.
They flat out
this was not us. We are not taking credit for this. Miz passes Razor Ramon as the fifth longest reigning of Intercontinental Champion. Will pass Tito Santana in 2 days for number 4.
Yep.
Pretty incredible for the Miz.
Clearly it's for combined reigns.
Right.
So.
Right. But for a guy that, like, when he started, I don't know if you remember when Miz started as just
the host of the Diva Search.
I remember thinking, like, I hate this guy. This guy's terrible.
What a tool.
He couldn't even remember the phone number to call.
Yeah.
But then he did the stuff with John Morrison where they did the dirt sheet, which was entertaining
as
hell.
The best thing from that era of ECW.
Yeah.
Just.
And then he came into his own as the Miz, and now he's just so good with Maurice on with him. I mean, he's just solid. Yeah. Even the Miztourage.
He
I love,
like,
this angle.
Curtis did that Facebook, the tournament of greatest Intercontinental Champions of all time. For me, it is Jericho, but Miz is earning his spot as one of the all-time great Intercontinental Champions.
You know, when Miz first kind of started coming around, I was not a fan at all. And like in my head, I was just like, okay, so this guy had some fame from
the real world.
Yeah. And so now WWE is going to push him through the roof. They're going to do stuff with him. And that's fantastic. But I changed my mind on him because he really cares. Like, I mean, his work like spoke for itself. I mean, at a period of time when the company had almost nobody, people were dropping off like flies, and he main evented WrestleMania. I mean, he gave that company something worth having.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. At first, I didn't care for him, but he changed my mind. I'm a fan.
He's earned his place.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, hands down.
I haven't watched wrestling as long as you guys have, so I've always been a fan of The Miz.
She has.
I have, because I remember.
Tell him about WrestleMania.
So, one, with the ladder match, I picked Miz to win, and he was so close to winning, and then he got cocky because it's The Miz, and then Zack Ryder won, and
which
I yelled in
guy.
His face because that was.
Like, threw Allie down yeah, the door and cheered.
Yeah, but yeah. I also remember, like, in the Royal Rumble, he went out, didn't get in the ring, he just went over to the commentary team and was like, no, this is. I don't have to fight them right now. I don't have to go. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sit right here with you.
And that was when he charged the ring because Brock Lesnar was the only person in the ring, wasn't it?
I don't remember. I got the memory of a goldfish.
Because there was one where he was going down to the ring, like, mm-hmm. ready to go. Like, he was going to take it to Lesnar. And then just kind of, he gets to the front of the ring and then circles around.
Yeah.
Still just running his mouth.
Yeah.
And then he sits down next to the commentary team. Puts
yeah,
on the headset,
they're all like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Aren't you supposed to be up there?
Being smart is what I'm being.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Ric Flair has started physical therapy. He also posted a message on his, I think, Twitter mm-hmm. talking about it. So congratulations. We are all pulling for the Nature Boy, of course. All time classic. Mm-hmm. Great. What else we got? What is the Dr. Wagner story from Triple Mania?
He lost his mask.
Oh, okay.
And that is a pretty significant deal in Lucha. So I wanted to mention it because, like, Triple Mania from, like, the stuff that I saw was actually kind of nuts, but.
Oh, yeah, you got people trying to rip other people's arms
yeah,
off.
It's a shame when something like that is
there
overshadowed.
There was good stuff, too.
Right. And then the PWI, not PW.
No.
We're not related. PWI, the Pro Wrestling Insider, released their top 500. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen the full list yet. I've heard Espy's on it.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Espy, awesome. Brandon Espy
Espinosa. I think he's 367, maybe?
I would not.
He's somewhere in there.
I'm honestly shocked there aren't more names from CCW on there. I could see Brandon being on there. Billy Hills, Del Tucker, Cody Wilson, hell, mm-hmm. Davey Vega. I don't know if he's on there.
Yeah.
I used to buy the PWI top 500 every mm-hmm. year when I was a kid. I would always buy it, and I haven't always agreed with the picks. We have the top 10.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which do you have?
This,
you want me to read that off?
I have it. Okay.
You want to read
and
that
this
off?
This is totally.
This is in order too.
Like this, yeah, it's in starting at 10. And it's the great debate between you and Hunter.
About Nikki Bella.
About Nikki Bella being number one that year. Because it is totally storyline driven. It's totally like, it's not, you know, they're not ranking everybody by work ethic and all that. It's who is being presented as the best wrestler in the world.
I still think Nikki Bella should be number one this year.
She wrestled like once. Number 10 is
Did
The Miz, which absolutely the run he's had with the,
even if it wasn't kayfabe.
Yeah. Number 9 is Bobby Roode. Number 8 is Samoa Joe. 7 is Dean Ambrose. 6 is Nakamura. 5 is Kenny Omega. 4 is Roman Reigns. 3 is Kevin Owens. 2 is AJ Styles. And number 1, for the first time ever, a Japanese wrestler is Okada.
Yep.
Which,
Kazuchika Okada.
100% deserves.
The Rainmaker.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
He was in Tekken. You guys in Tekken, how are you going to say he doesn't belong there?
The only two complaints that I have with this are Roode and Nakamura. Only because I don't know if Nakamura's really had. He also, I don't think, ever successfully defended the NXT championship.
He did not. He lost to Joe, and then he lost to Roode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if Roode has had the year to be in the top 10. Only because nothing really, like, I mean, he's had good defenses, but nothing really comes out as, like, screaming, like,
amazing,
super important, like, top 10 important.
Right.
So.
Right.
But otherwise, like, I mean, it's an interesting list. Check it out.
I want to see the top 500. I might pick up that issue.
I'm super happy that Miz made top 10. because yeah. like that's, in, that's cool. In storyline wise, outside storyline wise, absolutely deserves it.
I'm just impressed Okada made number one. Like, I think that's pretty cool.
I'm surprised John Cena didn't make top 10.
Well, and it's because he's been right. like, I mean, absent he's, for yeah, so long. He's had chunks missing and his, and the times he's been like, he's lost in the past year more than he has ever probably.
Yeah.
You know, AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose, you know, he's got,
he introduced AJ Styles to the WWE universe. Is what he said on Raw. And Kevin Owens. You remember how happy you were when John Cena introduced Kevin Owens to the universe, Asa?
For a while.
Isn't that when you quit wrestling because I mean, of that?
It got better.
He got so mad at Battlezone?
Battleground.
So mad. Asa was done. You almost left the show. You weren't on the show yet.
No, I was on the shows because I switched to, you're going to have to fill me in on WWE because the only thing I'm going to watch is New Day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I was done. There were a lot of TNA and indie talk.
There was, which there is tonight too. Yep. All right, we're done with that. Let's talk about CCW. We had Homecoming 2 over the weekend, and since we did the CCW live, we can talk about this as bros. We don't have to.
Yeah.
We don't have to put things forward. So it was a great show. It was a great show. Here's the first thing I wanna say. Me and Jason have talked about this, of having someone go out and hype the crowd before the show, because I don't understand why it was so quiet. I get that McGregor was fighting Mayweather that night and there was a lot of empty seats. I get that. I don't agree with it, but I get it. You wanted to see it was hyped to hell. Mm-hmm. Cool. But the people that are there, especially the hardcore CCW fans that I know are watching CCW Live, that I know are going to these shows and are super into it, why are you so quiet? Let's make some noise. Let's these guys are working their ass off. And when Asa and myself and Allie and Dalton and Derek and JR are sitting over there and we have to lead the crowd and make the noise. Like, I thought we were done with that. I thought we were done with that months ago because the crowd got so loud. Because
there were times where it's like, yeah, we didn't even like,
yeah,
we're drops in the bucket.
Right. Yeah. We didn't have to make such an effort anymore. We got to sit back and just watch the shows without interacting with it. Because especially now that we're on commentary, we can't interact with you guys like we used to. Used to, you would come over.
Yeah.
We would jaw with each other. You put your hands on me once.
I did.
But now we can't do that because we're doing commentary at the same time.
I did get to give Mikey a respect kiss.
He did. Well, so did Allie.
Yeah, I did too.
I got the respect kiss.
You guys
kiss
are
in.
So lucky.
Yeah. Me and Dalton didn't get respect kisses, but anyway. What did you think about the show?
I really enjoyed it, but like in my match, like me and Roger, we had our match. I didn't feel like the crowd was absent.
Well, and
it wasn't all the time.
It was a few matches.
The one that sticks out most on my mind was Sarah versus Nikki.
I
could hear a pin drop, and that pissed me off.
Also, Justin versus Jason.
Yes.
That one's surprising.
Well, no, I get that one because Jason got his ass kicked for 10 minutes straight and then lost. So those war child
people. But
you could
still, like.
Yeah,
I think at a point they stopped rallying.
Respond.
Well, and even like when Jason was like getting his offense in and like starting to mount those comebacks,
still wasn't that loud. Mm-hmm.
Especially comparing to what we've seen, the reactions we've seen him get before.
Right, Jason Vaughn is always. We might not always say we love him, but Jason Vaughn is always consistently one of the most popular performers that goes out there. And when Jason Vaughn can't even get
but
the
not
crowd
so much
on the
anymore,
beat,
really. I mean, like
you think it's tapered off?
I think that's the thing. It's tapered, and it's been doing it for the last little bit. I think the best response he had was whenever they thought that him and Osby were going to be going at it, and that's because that's the storyline that they were building to. And I think a lot of it is that Justin needs to be in their mind, Justin Smart is just sort of a buffer for what will eventually be him and Osby. I think they're just ready to see
Justin. Which is sad because Justin Smart has become one of my favorite performers.
Justin is damn good.
Justin is great.
I vouch for Justin's work any day.
Yeah. I love watching him wrestle. He's crisp. He's really, really good.
Don't like his jersey, but
love his jersey.
That's a different
topic.
Can't say
it out loud. Can't say it on the show. But are you 18? I think it was JR who saw it for the first time at the last show, and I just hear from my right. You just hear like, "Are you 18?"
No, I saw it first because I was just sitting there silently, like, "Why?"
You know why?
Because he's a horn dog.
Yeah. He likes the ladies.
I ignore the jersey, and I just see the wrestler.
No, he's a good guy.
And it was a great show. I think I told Jason this. Jason was in here on Monday, and we talked about it. I told him I think this show, especially from an angle standpoint, a storyline standpoint, was the most important show in CCW history. Because not only did you have your continuing crusade against the Pinnacle and that great moment where you were in the box and you came out, legitimately popped me.
Yeah.
I hate using these terms. But when you came out and I
– because. Austin pulled the thing to the ring, or it was behind him, and I was like, okay, so who's in the box? Is Psycho back? Like, who's?
Yeah, I thought it was
and
Psycho.
I'm thinking like, okay,
I didn't think anybody. When he pulled the chairs out, I thought
Psycho in a box.
So when it's coming down the ramp, and I'm like, okay, there's clearly someone in the box. Austin then opens up the lid and starts pulling out the chairs. So I'm like,
chairs.
Oh no, there's not someone in the box. Like,
he's just carrying chairs.
I've been keeping an eye out. Like, yeah. No one kind of snuck down and is under the ring to be able to, like, it doesn't look like it's got that trick opening, and there's no way they're going to be able to pull that off.
Right.
Like, with where the crowd is situated, mm-hmm. and where it is next to the ring. Like, someone's going to see it. And that, so, but didn't need to happen because you were in it the entire time. And so when you popped out, like, yeah, that was,
but after,
I lost my mind.
After you popped out, I was like, oh, that's why Roger went over there. I understand this.
And I was on the opposite. I, for once, like, since we're involved with CCW and wrestling in general, we notice cues, we notice things that happen. This was one of the first times I felt like a kid again, because when Roger came out and I knew Austin was going to lose because of Roger powerbombed Austin and Hollis was going to get it, I got actually angry. And I remember thinking, not again, not like this. Mm-hmm. When you popped out of the box, I literally jumped up and went, oh my God,
yeah.
It's Brandon. Yeah.
I
was excited.
The similar moment that I had, and I had it even last night recording the commentary, was when Diamond Doll came out again at the last show.
Right. Those legitimate
and, like,
surprises.
And I messed up that call, and I feel terrible because on commentary, it's like, it's kind of like quiet and we're supposed to be playing it up, but I couldn't get the words out because I legitimately had goosebumps again just rewatching it for how, like, great it was to see her again.
Mm-hmm. And the matches top to bottom, I thought were good. Top three was definitely Austin versus Hollis, no doubt. Marco versus Mikey. I loved that match. And I really liked your match with Mathis. I'm not just saying that because you're here.
Thank you very much. It was violent.
It was brutal.
Other moment you're forgetting, though, was with Jackson Crowley.
Yes, Jackson. And that's what I mean. Like, from an angle standpoint, Jackson Crowley.
I love Jackson.
We got to, so Allie wasn't there for this because she had to work. She got there a little late.
Yeah.
But myself and Asa and Zach Price and Mandy and Jason and Sin, I'm sorry, Jackson and his brother, who is now Otis, we come to discover, we filmed the scene where he's taking Dexter Roswell's body out, and that was probably my favorite thing we've ever recorded. It was so much fun.
I heard it was good. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, it was really good. Like, it was top level, I think.
I'm so excited to see it.
And the whole Jackson Crowley character, I think, has been a huge success in CCW.
I mean, it could be really great, and I know Jackson is really into what's going on. He's loving it, and that's fantastic. He's and we've been talking about it a little bit, trying to get ideas and stuff like that. And he's got his head in a good spot with it.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to touch on the brand of the box thing for a minute before we jumped over it.
Yeah. How long were you actually in that box?
About an hour and a half. Yeah.
Wow.
So my legs were so asleep. Mm-hmm. Like when I hopped up, I was like, hope I don't stumble. but that reaction is so organic.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
And it was a really good response. And like you said, the crowd was kind of back and forth and up and down. They were really in it for my match.
Austin's match, obviously. Mikey and Marco, they love.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, so like, and I think that's the thing. I think that's really the issue is, like, you said you want them to get behind them. But I think that most of these fans are just having trouble getting enthused about things that they just are not really sold on 100%. It's like, I love Sarah and Nikki. I think they're both talented. I love being around them both. They are just good people. But I just don't feel like there's the story has the dynamic that it needs. I feel like it's missing something. And that's not to state anything bad against their work or anything they're doing.
They just haven't found it. They haven't found the hook yet, is what you're
thinking. I just don't feel like there's enough to draw in the crowd from a dramatic standpoint. Like,
right.
I don't think that they're giving them anything that they really are going to super hook on.
And that's the great thing about them is because they are more than capable of doing that just strictly with their wrestling.
Yeah.
And that match was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And so it feels like, you know, if it was missing that, if it is missing that kind of maybe that story hook, they're not entirely, you know, convinced about the whole her turning her back on the Pinnacle, which I loved, or like with the Pinnacle attacking her, that like that match for me, even, you know, if I wasn't already invested in that story, would have been enough to get me excited. And so it's certain things where I'm just
remind
me
real quick. Have these girls done promos? Like, I mean,
Sarah,
I did a promo with Sarah.
That's cool.
Beforehand,
where it needs to be done.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it needs to be done. Like, we need
she pretty much addresses it and brings in that story, and So
exactly. But the thing is like, and that's great, but the audience there doesn't get to see that.
That's one of the things I told Jason when he, I don't know if it was the first time we talked or second time or whatever. And I told Ken Murphy, took me and Asa out to, the arena once and asked us questions. What do you think of this? What do you think of that? And we told him, we said, one thing we feel is like these guys need stories. There needs to be an emphasis on why they're doing this and why we should care. And we use Cody Wilson as an example. I love Cody Wilson. We love Cody Wilson. He's a great guy. He's a fantastic wrestler, but I cannot tell you who he is.
Right.
Well, you know,
no, I get
I can tell you is that he wore Parker on the back of his jacket at the last show, and Parker is now the most over character in CCW, guaranteed.
Parker Club worldwide.
Parker Club worldwide. That boy's a star. But I agree with you. I feel like the Fight TV is great for that.
Because no, yeah.
We get to do stuff that you don't get to see live in the arena. But live in the arena, it's a problem because you need to know these things. And it's like the Star Wars argument.
You're just trying to fit so much.
You have to watch Clone Wars. Well, what's Sarah's problem? We have to watch Fight TV.
For the first time that people are like attending. And for the most part, like the shows are structured really, really well that it's easy to, for someone who it's their first show, it's easy for them to kind of understand what's going on.
To get caught up.
Before the Matt Hardy match, the promo came up on the screen.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We should still be doing that. Like, there's no real, like, you don't have to do it, like, live in front of the audience, but if you can still even do that and have that come up so that people can register what's going on, that would be great.
The problem with that is that we ran into is, apparently the processing time for those videos takes quite a while before they're ready to be shown. Like, that's why after that first show that we had them up there, they stopped doing it was because, like, we were getting done too late for it to be able to be ready for the screen.
Right. And it's which is
why I suggested Facebook Live. Mm-hmm. Facebook Live it and put it on the big screen.
But then Facebook Live disappears.
I've always said, and I'm not just saying this because I would want to host it. Of course I would if they offered. Is an in-ring segment, like a Jericho type segment, or, you know, just bring people out in between matches, 2-3 minute interviews, promos, let them talk to the crowd directly. But the problem is that, especially with this last show, there's so much time for the wrestling. There's hardly any time for anything else.
Well, the thing is, and you don't want to do it with everybody because there are certain guys like me who do the Facebook Lives and I have a pretty good, people have a good, fairly good idea of what I'm doing. And I mean, they understand the story that I'm in as of right now, but people like Sarah, who are people may not know exactly what the story is or how she, after her match for you to meet her in the aisle and old school
Mean Gene
style, just ask her 2 or 3 questions so that she can hit a couple of solid spots and send her on her way. That would be pretty cool. But again, like you said, you have to trim the fat and make sure that you have enough time for everything.
We could even just, they could do it. Like with Jeff, with their story, Jeff Odell is out there. He could have said something like, so how do you think, he could have just been like, you're nothing without me. And Sarah could have turned around and been like, no, I didn't need you in the first place. They've given me more respect than you have. That could have filled in the crowd that was there at the time. And we already have the thing for chaos.
They could just scream it. They don't even need a microphone.
You know, and stuff like that, that kind of story building is good too. It's important to cut those kind of promos. And we don't really do it enough, like live there at the show. But then again, they can also be very time consuming.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And so we got to watch out for that too. But
Ken Murphy's got a bedtime. He's got to get to it.
Even though it's a great idea, the idea of having an interviewer there, someone who is impartial and biased so that you don't have the back and forth, like, okay, someone get the last word so we can be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you need both. You need them to be laid out in a specific way, but they both do different jobs. One gives you one point of view and one gives you an argument to build drama. You know what I mean? So I think that we should have both of them, but again, it's finding the time and the placement.
Yeah. Right.
But we are growing. Like, yeah. I feel like every CCW show we get better and better. We're like Big Nasty. Every one we get better and better.
Oh yeah.
And we're doing stuff now that, you know, we didn't do when it started. Well, we didn't do anything when it started because we weren't a part of it. But we're doing stuff now that we didn't do when it started. And I think it's getting better and we're growing every show. I love it. I know I've had my frustrations. I think we all have had our frustrations with the product in general or the company or whatever you want to say, but there's a love that we all have for it that is just incredible. That,
like,
just, not just us, the fans, the diehard fans, the Caleb Carters and the Robert Youngs and the Jared Smiths and, you know, people like that. It's amazing. It really is. And I can't stress enough that you guys need to come see these shows. If you haven't seen them yet, you're missing out on so much fun.
It's the big thing I put on Facebook a couple weeks ago, just like cause it, you know, it being called Homecoming is just like the most apt name. just because, like, it really feels like, you know, speaking strictly for us, like, it, you know, when we're back there doing the interviews and, like, just hanging out with you guys, like, it feels like we belong. Right. And, like, we're actually welcome there. And that's crazy to us because being fans for so long and...
Who the F are we?
Yeah. But just, and just so, like, so that's amazing. And then, but not only that, like, it's easy to tell that everyone there gets, like, it really does feel like a family.
Right.
Like, and every, you know, once a month, everyone gets to come home and see each other.
It's like
and,
Christmas.
Cause, like, you know, there are guys like, I know, Tattoo and, like, Del Tucker see each other all the time. Marco, like, cause, you know, they're in the Memphis side of things. And, but, like,
we don't,
you know, but being able to, you know, when they come to, you know, oh, get to see them, we get to see the LA Hustlers. Like, it's always just, you know, there's so many people, SB Ace, just, you know, it's so nice to be able to, like,
the Kansas City guys.
And, yeah. Just, you know, talk to for a second.
And speaking of which, I mean, we're running out of time here too, but
well, because I actually have the full, like, the in order card, because not
I figure we talk about that on CCW Live next week.
But. Do we want to do that?
I kind of do because I feel like what I like now that we have CCW Live going is that we can talk about that stuff on there, and then we can talk about just the behind the scenes stuff here. We can finally just go, okay, here's how it is
with us. Pull the curtain back.
We're gonna break the fourth wall.
Hello.
Hi, what's up?
Hi.
She's breaking the fourth wall. Yeah, she's saying hi to the fourth wall. Yeah.
No, I thought it was an...
I hate that. Stop doing that.
I especially...
I'm baiting you. Take it.
It was an incredible show. They announced Best of the Best 2. We're going to talk about that in the next upcoming weeks. You've got the leather strap match against Mathis.
Yeah.
You guys...
Which I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you guys just get harder and harder. How many events until we get first to, like, ever, the exploding piranha?
No,
Death
I mean
Star
it's going to be kind of cool that it, like,
Death Star match.
Death Star match. It's going to be neat seeing the first ever CCW casket match. The problem. It's going to be a real bummer though that it's going to be like legit. No, just you're putting the lifeless body in the casket.
Plus Barry's going to build that casket. You know he is.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Mathis is so big. I won't be able to get the damn thing closed anyway. So yeah. I mean,
you have to chop. They used to chop off their legs. And then put them in it.
See, that's but he's a Viking, story. So you do get to light something on fire.
Yeah, just burn him. Just burn him.
No, that's a great idea.
You just put him in a boat and set him off to sea.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think
it's a horrible death.
Honestly, I think me and Mathis are probably about to come full circle in what we're doing. Mathis and I, and I've enjoyed working with him, and it has been taxing on the body because as much as I love working with him, as much as I feel like we have chemistry, he's a very physical guy. Like, you have guys that work more solid than others. Some guys are super light. Some guys you feel everything, and Mathis, he takes care of me. I've never felt endangered. I've never felt like he's going to hurt me, but I mean, he's a solid worker. He makes good contact. So anything that I don't have to sell too much, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's not hard.
I don't have to act.
Yeah. I can just be myself.
So, like, so and I'm not complaining about that, but it's you're definitely sore.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you're sore anyway, but then, like, come Friday,
it's
the
that
following
extra, I felt that right.
Yeah, like the following Friday, you're like, why do I feel like I hit my truck? Oh, right, Mathis.
I did.
Roger.
Mathis sore.
Yeah, and like, cause he's a guy that Dalton and I, and you know, you've seen a couple times when you went to in stride, and it's just, and every match is like that. And it works really, really, like, it's just, it's, he quickly became one of our favorites.
That's what makes him stand out so
and
much.
Seeing
the term believable, I think it needs to be in
and
wrestling.
Just like, I love the way that, like, that, I was super happy to see him immediately get paired with you because you guys do have that chemistry. Like, there's something there. That first match, especially the longer that it went and just the, oh, because we've seen what Mathis is capable of. And like, it's not necessarily the same kind of style that we've seen you use before because you're a little bit more of a technical guy and he's just much more of a striker.
I mean,
to see you be able to like keep up with him in that regard was just amazing.
I think it's interesting to, because so far, like he's the first guy I've been paired with since the turn, you know what I mean? From heel to the babyface. And it makes sense because, now I'm trying to garner sympathy when I'm getting the hell beat out of me. And
who's better?
Who better to beat the hell out of someone?
Yeah. Who better to beat the hell out of me? Cause at this point, I feel like I've been pretty dominant.
Yeah.
With pretty much everyone I've been in the ring with. And with Mathis, I'm able to hold my own while still showing that this guy is really a force to be reckoned with, you know,
and being vulnerable.
Different from an Austin Lane or a Hollis Giroux where you were still in danger of losing, but now you're in danger of dying.
Yeah. I think this is the first time where you see Brandon Barbwear in a position where he's actually, you're concerned for him. You're concerned for his well-being because he's not, he's not in control. He's winging it and he's getting by, but by no stretch of the imagination are things going well.
Right.
And but also they, like, it's just such a good job of you being like, cause it's that thin line where it's, but you're still believable. Like, you know, there is still that sliver of hope. Like, no, you've held your own before. Like,
he could come back from
this. You could come back from this. And it's just, it makes like every interaction you guys have had so far just.
I tried really hard with this last match. I wanted it to make sense. I wanted from a psychological standpoint for people to look at what I was doing with Roger and make them go, okay, that makes sense. And so like I go for big shots to the head and shoulders and then I focus on the legs. Mm-hmm. What I need to put him down and then what I need to make sure he can't get up again. Mm-hmm. And like that kind of psychology is something that I can work on with a guy the size of Mathis. And you get to see that Brandon Barbwire is more than just violence. He's also thinking and mapping and that broadens out the character so much. I like doing that. It's a lot of fun.
And Mathis is a great guy to be working with that. Cause like when we go out to dinner with like him and Billy and Sarah after the shows, like, but either here or at Stride, like the psychology of everything that happened, like their matches or not, is something that they're always talking about and dissecting.
Yeah.
And like, he's just, they're, you know, you're both just so smart about it that it's no wonder that when you're put together and you're working together that it,
yeah. And you know, works. And I hope it translates. I hope like when people are watching it, they see it and they go, okay, this, it should be subliminal almost. This should be like, wow, okay, that makes sense. That's smart. Almost like it's like for just a second, you're like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. That's good strategy. Wait, it's a show.
You know what I mean? We're definitely like, it's one of those things like, this is going to be very easy to call.
Yeah.
Like watching the matches live, like I'm kind of like making mental notes of different things and like, okay, we can focus on this. We can call that. We can point this out. And it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, it just makes it so easy.
Right.
Because you guys do such a good job of telling your own story
and making it believable.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to cover. Sometimes we have to cover for mistakes or stuff that looks kind of rough, but you guys always go ham is the term we used to use. Two other things that we want to mention about the show before we get out of here. Billy. Let's talk about Billy for a second. So Billy took a very nasty fall. Well, he went for a suplex on Ethan Carter III, and I didn't see it at the time. He told me to watch about the 14-minute mark, so I went back and watched it. And you could see his elbow kind of come down and crack himself in the ribs as he was suplexing him. I have never been more afraid at a live event than I was there. I hate to say I was taken out of the show for a moment. I was. Austin and Hollis brought me back because they're so good. Mm-hmm. But seeing Billy crumpled up in the corner over there and Jeff putting the X up and people coming out, I was scared.
Because it was one of those things where it's like, oh, they're, you know, because it wouldn't be the first time that we saw a fake injury angle at the CCW show. Yeah. And so, it's one of those things like, okay, Billy's really good. So he could just be like, okay, this could just be the story that they're telling is he got hurt in the middle of the match and that's why EC3 won. Like it took an injury to beat Billy. But then when I saw Jeff talk to Mandy and Mandy then run to
Mandy
the back,
ran. That was
that's
the,
when I knew I was like, nope, this is
serious.
And seeing Billy just fall down and then
and the
take him to
arm,
the back.
The way his arm shaking was just that was terrifying.
See, now at this point I was Brandon in the box.
Yeah.
And so I didn't get to see it. I was still stuffed into that box. But I went back and I watched it afterwards, because after the show, I had a concussion, but,
that's legitimate. That wasn't just a thing on the
show. No, that's legit.
Like Barry made a mention of it in the comments of the Facebook Live thing that I didn't think was appropriate to, cause he said one of his favorite moments was, the projectile.
And like that was legit. I don't know if you caught it.
We were on the other side of the ring.
Saw it, but like, man, I don't want to take away from what I was saying about Billy to get into this concussion thing, but I didn't know what the hell was going on because of the concussion so much. When I got to the back, it took me a second to register. I had a headache. I was dizzy, but I found out Billy was at the hospital. I'm like, okay, so we're going to the hospital. I finally got back to see Billy about 1:30. He just really, you could tell he was
doped up, wasn't he?
No, he wasn't doped up. He was just like, he was disappointed because.
Oh, he was so mad. After,
yeah, he was,
apparently.
You know, very
he was very upset. And the thing was, is he didn't, and I told him this, I was like, you don't need to be upset about what you did. I was like, EC3 left happy. You guys had a good match. Your match didn't stop because of the injury.
Yeah,
he should like, not have like, finished that match.
Like, you hit your finishes. You took it home. You did your job. I was like, there are, I said something. I was like, there's a lot of people in this business that just probably shouldn't be in this business. They don't really have what it takes. Billy's not one of those guys. Billy has what it takes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the reason that he was being so hard on himself is because you can have a good match, But if it doesn't go quite the way you wanted, you can find something to harp on. And that's what a professional does. It's how we get better. We beat ourselves up sometimes and we harp on it. And Billy was doing that, but.
And
I thought they had a great match.
The fact that
I enjoyed it very much.
The fact that he finished it is astounding, and you know,
especially that Samoan drop.
And that's the thing, no. Like a Samoan drop from a guy the size of EC3. Just no, I don't understand. Like
I don't understand why he did it.
You know,
I understand why he did it.
Yeah, well, but rib injuries are nothing to joke about. Like my stepdad, who's one of the toughest men I've ever met, like talks about, you know, he broke a couple ribs one time and it's just like every breath hurts. Hearing him talk about it, I've thankfully never broken a rib or bruised a rib or anything, but like I have an appreciation of what that is like. Just based on what Paul was told me. And to know that so Billy has a severely bruised rib, at least one, and then to take a Samoan, like no, that's insane to me that he was able to even do that.
And especially because it's a Samoan drop, which targets the back rib area.
Yeah. The back, yeah.
It would have been easy to have called that match and been done.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, that was, and I guarantee that never even went through his head.
No.
Right. And it just isn't. It wasn't when I broke my neck. I still went for another 10 minutes and finished everything good. And then I got crippled later, you know, thank God for adrenaline. And I'm sure Billy I have no doubt it never even entered his mind. He knew he was finishing that match. He just needed to get enough air to do so.
Right.
And I know that that's risky. I know that some people will be like, well, that's playing and gambling with your health and you shouldn't. But when you really care about what you're doing, you care about your craft and the story that you've planted out so far, it's not as easy as just walking away.
Of just saying, oh,
Yeah, and more than likely, if he had walked away, it would have been because someone said, look, we have
they
to.
It would have been a statement if they called it for
him. Yeah, exactly.
And it's a shame that it didn't quite overshadow EC3 being there, but it definitely, it didn't take away from it, but it's an asterisk. You know, and I know that drives Billy crazy, but I do want to mention how awesome it was to see EC3 there.
I thought they did a wonderful job.
Even with the injury,
so good.
The match was really good.
Yeah.
Will remember that Billy got hurt. You know, that sucks. But it was cool that EC3 was there. I love seeing him.
But
He's so
can
handsome.
Be good for a storyline too, and it can certainly be good for someone like Billy, who, I mean, granted he lost the match, but he also finished the match even though he was hurt.
Moving forward.
I mean, we can talk about his tenacity and all kind of stuff. And the thing, and the best part about it is that it's a shoot. You know what I mean? Like, that's legit. And so that's cool.
Especially because it seems like his character's kind of taking a turn with the whole, you know, desperate man, I'll do anything for my family type deal.
It almost seems like it plays right into it.
And the fact that, you know, he now has that, the only reason I lost it, like from a storytelling standpoint, the only reason I lost is because, you know, I almost broke a rib.
But like, I kept fighting.
That's what it took for EC3 to keep me down.
Right.
Yeah. So who's going to be able to stop him now?
I think Billy is so close, and he hates this, I think. He's so close to the edge of turning good guy. He doesn't want to, but fans are picking up on how good he is. It's a Rock situation. It's organic, like with you. And Billy is going to have to, he's going to do something so crazy to make everybody hate him. Mm-hmm. And I'm scared to see what that is. The other thing that came out of that, and I just want to say this real quick. We got to get out of here. But it was Dexter's last match in CCW for the time being.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of wrote him off because he's booked throughout the year. And Dexter is so good. I'm sad that he won't be there. That's all I want to say.
Oh, yeah, no.
I'm just sad that I won't get to see my friend.
I'm glad we'll get to see him at Stride still.
Yes.
But the way that he got out is...
epic.
Yeah.
Insane.
Epic.
We mentioned it before, but, you know, Austin Lane, of course, after a year.
Winning
the CCW championship from Hollis in that ladder match.
I don't have enough time to talk about how awesome it is to see Austin win that
title. We'll go into depth on that on next Wednesday for the CCW Live thing.
Okay. Yep.
The one thing I want to point out, never get a table that small again.
Yeah.
That was a miracle.
That was
because,
scary.
Like, watching Hollis go through it and all of the wooden and metal junk. And I told, I, this
that
is not, this is not
it.
News to anyone because I told Austin this. I don't know if I had a chance to talk to Hollis that much after the match, though, but, like, I told Austin, it's like, it's amazing that Hollis did not get totally wrecked by that table.
He could have easily been impaled.
Oh, yeah. No. Like, that was, that, like, I am not a super, you know, religious or, you know, person, but that was
you
a
said
miracle.
A prayer right there.
Yeah. Like, that was a,
and yeah, I wish we had more. Oh, sorry, Ellie.
I have a piece of that table in my car.
You do, signed by almost everybody. Did we get your signature on that, Brandon? No,
no, because
you were
probably.
Yeah.
I signed somebody's wood, but I don't.
Yeah, you didn't sign. You didn't sign my wood. You remember it? Yeah, that. I wish we had more time to talk about Austin winning the title because
Wednesday.
And we'll talk about it on XPW too. We'll devote a section to it. It's just that, cause Austin is our friend. If we've made friends from CCW, it's you. You were the first person I think that we really connected with. Mm-hmm. Billy, obviously, and Austin. And to see Austin win the title, he absolutely deserves it. He's amazing. I'm so happy about it. And we'll talk about it next week. We'll gush over Austin.
We've made more friends than that.
It was
everyone's our friend except Damone. Thanks, Dalton.
But the original three were like, cause you were the first person to reach out and be like, hey, you know,
let's do something.
Let's work together.
I mean, it just seemed like the smart thing to do. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like you guys were there and you guys were active and you guys were into it and enjoying it. And I'm like, you know what? I would enjoy to go on and do that. I'm sure that considering that they're so into the show, they probably love to have somebody from the show on. It's like, man, that's cool. And that'll help build CCW. And then I got here and you guys happened to be really cool people. And I love hanging around with you guys and being around you guys.
And you opened doors for us, too.
And, you know, that's the thing, too. Like, I always look at it from the perspective of who all can benefit and how can we benefit as much as possible? Because I don't want to just benefit me and I don't want to just benefit CCW. I want to benefit everyone involved. If this helps you guys and it helps us, that's great. That's awesome because that's
symbiotic,
the point, right?
Mm-hmm. Not parasitic, Allie. Okay, we got to get out of here. We got to get out of here right now. I do want to say this. I'm pretty sure that there's like 10 to 15 seconds of audio that got lost during that because my computer did crazy things. So if you heard parts where it kind of skipped ahead, I apologize. I had to mess with my settings to do the Facebook Live. And I think it's just a little wonky. I'll get it fixed. We'll be fine.
Some technical difficulties plaguing us tonight.
Was it when I was talking? Because sometimes technology acts wonky around me.
One part was definitely you because I saw it like the needle was going, but nothing was recording. And I thought, oh, no, not
this. Are you
this
haunted?
Again.
I don't know. Maybe. Also, I have typo negative blood, and I heard that that's linked to aliens. So maybe that's it.
I think I have a topic for Terrifying Tana Thursday. This October. Brandon, thanks for coming on, man. We appreciate you coming on again. And,
thanks
we
for
miss
having
you.
Me. I appreciate it.
For Asa and Allie and myself, thank you guys for listening. We want you to make sure to tune in tomorrow for Podzilla After Dark. I'm debating whether or not it's going to be a heavy show or it's going to be a fun show. Or maybe we'll do both because there's a lot of things we can talk about. It's crazy right now. I don't know if you know about the world, but the world's going nuts right now, and it's crazy.
It's basically on fire.
It's basically a dumpster fire, right now. And, of course, go to Podzilla1985.com. Catch up on the old episodes. Go to Patreon.com/Podzilla1985 if you want to donate to us monetarily. You can catch us on Facebook. Did I just mention that one?
No.
Okay, we're on Facebook.com/Podzilla1985. And if you didn't catch CCW Live next Wednesday, we'll be back 7:30 on the dot. We'll see you then. Have a great night. And, Brandon, since you're here, one more time, take us out.
Do you have like a specific way that you want me to take you out? Like, is there like a saying that you wrap up or can I just do my
hashtag? You just do your own thing.
All right. Hashtag long live the one true champ, Brandon Barbwire.